Hello, welcome to the Bev Moore Show, live streaming on the iHeart Network and 185 broadcast stations worldwide. I'm your host, Bev Moore. My guest today is an actress, model, author, and songwriter. Shannon Wilson is my guest. She is known for appearing in the Netflix miniseries Halton and in the CBS TV series FBI. We will be back after the break with Shannon Wilson, sharing highlights of her amazing acting career. Stay with us.
Bring my need, I will bring my heart. Before I lift my cares, I will lift my arms. I wanna know you, I wanna find you in every season, in every moment. Before I bring my need, I will bring my heart and
Show, live streaming on the iHeart Network and 185 broadcast stations worldwide. I'm Bev Moore. My interview with actor Shannon Wilson is coming up. Shannon shares what it is like to work with actors Bill Pullman and Ryan Murphy on the Netflix miniseries, Halton. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Carson Kressley. Of all the most valuable resources in the world, kindness is the most precious. For more than 140 years, American Humane has been working to make the world a kinder place for animals. Rescuing those caught in disasters, protecting animals on our farms, on the silver screen, and the world's remarkable and endangered species who need our care to help them survive. All of us can make a difference by making humane choices at the supermarket, in our choice of entertainment, and by supporting conservation and rescue efforts. It's not hard at all. Make being kind a lifestyle choice and visit AmericanHumane.org for simple ways you can help build a more caring, compassionate, and humane world for animals and for all of us.
I would like to welcome Shannon Wilson. Shannon is an actress, model, and songwriter. Welcome to the show, Shannon.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Beth.
You play opposite, like, from Bill Pullman in the Ryan Murphy Netflix limited series Halston, mm-hmm. as well as FBI on CBS. What episodes did you appear on those? Can you share a little bit about that experience?
Yes. Well, Halston, I appeared on episodes 2 and 4 of the series. So mm-hmm. that was really fun. And that was supposed to be just one episode, and then they added my character to another one and added a few more scenes. So that was very exciting. And then FBI is a recent one, and I was just on one, and it was a very, very small part. But exciting nonetheless.
Well, that was impressive with Bill. What is he like on set? I'm just curious.
He's very sweet. He is, in fact, when the makeup person called me, the wardrobe person called me, because they always go over the wardrobe before you show up on set, as you know. And they, before she hung up, she said, oh, and by the way, Bill Pullman is the nicest person you will ever meet. And I didn't ask her anything about it. You know, you always wonder what people are going to be like in person. And so I said,
right.
Oh, that's so good to hear. And she said, yes, he just is. And then when I showed up, I mean, he could not be more of a gentleman and just a sweetheart. And so is Ewan McGregor is very sweet too.
Oh, that's great. That's great to hear. So how and when exactly did you realize you had the passion for acting?
I think, you know, I've always had a creative mind, and my grandmother used to always watch soap operas, General Hospital, every day. And I would sometimes, you know, watch the shows with her stories. And when I would be in my room, I would pretend like I was dying to see if I could do it. Like how I would act
if you were dying.
Yes, like on the bed, like, oh gosh, I love you, Roger, you know. And just, and then I would try to see if I could make myself cry. And I always loved watching the Academy Awards and just film, because my dad was a huge movie buff. So I never had the thought, I want to be a famous actress, I want to act one day. It was never like that sort of dream. But it was something always in the back of my mind that seemed like something so cool to do. So I never did theater. I always played sports. But I think it was just always kind of percolating there from when I was little.
When you were little, just play acting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, play acting. And then I'd fiddle around the roof. I'd make my brother be all sorts of characters. And we'd put on plays. We used our neighbor's, her mom's expensive, like, I think it was, you know, Chanel face cream to make our faces look like a ghost from Fiddler on the Roof. She about died. And
oh, that's
so,
fun.
Yeah, so we'd always put on little acts and plays, and we're always singing, my friends and my sister, my brother and I. Well, my brother not so much. He didn't like it, but we made him.
You made him do it anyway.
Yes.
That's fun. That is too fun. You know, I'm very impressed with the feature film Snow Baby. And you received outstanding reviews where you played Claire McCusker.
McCusker.
How do you pronounce that last name?
McCusker, Claire McCusker.
I was right. Okay, McCusker.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, so tell me about that, how it was with that film, because, yeah, I love Snow Babies. I just love it.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, it's that was my first feature, and I had my agent had called and said they want you to read this for this part, and so I auditioned for one of the scenes, and then they said they're interested in meeting you, and they just want to meet you at, it was like a Panera Bread or something, and so I met the director, Bridget Smith, and Mike Walsh, the writer, and they offered me the part right there on the spot, so I didn't have to do a call back, and that was such an amazing first experience. And for anybody that doesn't know, Snow Babies is S-N-O for heroin. And mm-hmm. I play the mother of my daughter is a 16-year-old straight-A student heroin addict. And when we did that film, that was 2019 is when we were filming mm-hmm. it. And that was way before, you know, the opioid epidemic is even, it's even more out of control. And it was kind of like the tipping point. So I didn't have an idea of how bad it was in our country. And at the time, my kids were a little bit younger. So it was just an intense experience to be a part of something like that, but beautiful at the same time, because I feel like there were so many families that were involved who'd lost their loved ones to opioids and to heroin that were a part of that film and were on set, that it really was life-changing.
It was a learning experience. So it's educational for you. Pretty much, and it helped you throughout your life experience.
Yes, it definitely did. And to see and talk to other families. I mean, the one scene where my daughter, I don't want to, if somebody sees the film, it's a pretty sad ending, but I mean, it ends up being positive, but there were parents on the set that had buried their children. And so for me to do a scene where I'm at a funeral from, you know, one of my loved ones in front of a parent who actually did bury their own child was so, you know, so hard because you want to do that justice.
Right.
But they wanted to be there. They were extras, many of the parents, because they just feel so passionate about informing everyone else to be scared, you know, to know and be aware of what your child is up to and that it can happen to anybody. And that was what Snow Babies is about. Like, I'm a busy working mom. My husband's a busy working dad. We had the best of intentions, and our daughter was off the rails, and we had no idea. And that happens every day.
Every day. All mm-hmm. around the world. Yes.
Yep.
Yes. And then you played Debbie in the feature film Retaliators.
Yeah, that was same crew, Mike Walsh and Bridget Smith. They were uh-huh. nice enough to give a part in that, and that was a horror movie, and that's doing really well in the film festivals. That was a small part, and Katie Kelly, who played my daughter in Snow Babies, is also in that. So Philly Born Films is really loyal to us, the ones that did Snow Babies, and Philly Christmas is what I'm coming up on, and they're really good about writing material. They're so nice. They write material for me for their films, and I just really appreciate it.
Yeah. Now, you have a feature film that is scheduled to release. Well, it was scheduled to release in October. Was that on schedule with the Signs of Love?
Yes, that came out in the theaters. I got to go to the AMC theater in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and watch myself on the big screen. That was really surreal because that had always been my dream, so my kids went with me. And my daughter in that film is Zoe Arquette. She's Rosanna Arquette's daughter. And
she got Best Actress, didn't she? Yeah.
She was so good. Yes, at the Brooklyn Film Festival. She is so talented. She looks just like her mother. She is as sweet as can be, and she's so good. She plays, she's deaf in the film. She plays a deaf girl, and she falls in love with Hopper Penn, who plays Frankie, and that's Sean Penn and Robin Wright's son. And so their chemistry is wonderful. Hopper Penn is the sweetest kid. He's so nice. And so that was really cool to be a part of that, and I got to meet Sean Penn at the premiere, which was really cool because Sean Penn's such a good actor.
So what did you think of Sean when you first met Sean?
I
he's a little reserved, isn't he?
He's shy. He's bigger than I expected him to be, though. My husband. Have you met him before?
I've always, but not in person, but everyone that has met him that I know has said the same thing, that he's like that. He's a little reserved.
Very sweet, though. Yeah, very shy, just extremely shy.
He is.
I think when you've been in the industry for that long, I find entertainers in general, and you would know this, are kind of shy. I'm pretty shy. They're not always extroverts, which you would assume they would be, but they're not.
But they're not. Mm-hmm. But they come alive on the camera. So, yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, it really is. People have no idea.
Right.
And that film also won Best Director.
Clarence did, yes. And it was an award in Italy. The name escapes me right now, but it was their first award. And so it got Italian distribution. The film did. And it was a really great award that they got in Rome. And the film is now on demand and getting good reviews. It's just it was all filmed in Philadelphia. Clarence is a commercial director. It was his first feature. And we filmed that during COVID, right? I think like in the fall of in September, it was in September during COVID. So Clarence is, it's neat to see that. It's awesome to see people that it's their first time doing something and that they get success from that. And they're so generous and so appreciative. Clarence is so appreciative of his cast. They made every single one of us feel like the whole cast, they made all of us feel so important. Like it was important to the whole story.
There's a name that can silence every fear. There's a love that embraces the heartache, the pain, and the tears. Through my faith and my doubting, I know one thing for sure. His word is unfailing, his promise secure. Todo va a estar bien, everything will be alright. Whole world's in his hands, your whole world's in his hands. In the darkness and the trials, he's faithful and he is true. The whole world's in his hands. Father, you say everything's gonna be alright, but my circumstances say I won't last through the night. I need your word to hold me now, I need you to pull me through. I need a miracle, a breakthrough, I need you. They say you hold the whole universe in your hand, but my world's falling apart like it is made of sand. Am I small enough to slip through the cracks? Can you take my broken pieces and put them back? Give me faith, you believe you are on my side. Open my eyes to see you working in my life. Let the past remind me you'd never fail, and tell my soul it is well. Oh, y todo va a estar bien. Everything will be alright. The whole world's in his hands. Your whole world's in his hands. In the darkness, in the trials, he's faithful and he's true. Your whole world's in his hands. Y todo va a estar bien. Te confieso a corazón abierto que todo es muy incierto en este desierto. Mi vulnerabilidad está al descubierto. Siento que mi barca está muy lejos de su puerto. ¿Por qué será que ya no sale el sol en mis días? ¿Por qué mis noches son tan frías? ¿Por qué será que siento que me falta algo? ¿Por qué este camino gris se siente tan largo? Sé que estás sobrando aunque no te sienta. Sé que estás sobrando aunque no te vea.
Sé que voy a salir de esta odisea. Sé que voy a ganar esta pelea. Sé que va a cesar esta marea temporaria. Que en ti yo viviré una vida extraordinaria. Que aunque no pueda entender, me consuela saber que
todo, yo sé que todo va a estar bien.
Todo va a estar bien.
Everything will be alright.
The whole world's in his hands. Your whole world's in his hands. In the darkness, in the trials, he's faithful.
My interview with actress Shannon Wilson continues after the break.
We are strong, we are resilient, and we will get through this together. But these are stressful times, and it's important to also practice good self-care. It's normal to feel overwhelmed, anxious, or afraid, but there is hope. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, stay in touch with your community, and know that you are not alone. Learn more at wearebroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
The biggie, I think, is the one that was did it break out this month, Philly Christmas.
Yes, that one. I think they're looking for we had a premiere, or it wasn't a premiere, it was a screening. I can't say it's a premiere. And they're having another screening on the 20th. So I don't know if that will be released for this holiday, or if they're going to release it later, or you know, next fall. But my husband is Robert Clohessy from Blue Bloods, and I play the bookie's wife with the accent. I have a complete like South Philly, with South Philly accent. It's a very different accent than a Long Island accent. People don't realize that.
Oh so yes, I know.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So you really had to practice with that, didn't you?
Yes, I think it's kind of like a lazy tongue, and you know, it's very fun to be able to do something like that and to play a woman that is, you know, so like, I'm like yelling at him, you know, get in the car. Oh my God, shut up. You know, it's like really fun to play people like that.
That would be so fun.
It was.
Especially with Robert, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, yes. Because he's a piece of work. He's hilarious. I mean, these people have been in the business forever.
So another quick run through with just the rest of your films. I mean, because they are, to me, they're big. I mean, just because you've done so much, you've touched so much. You also are in the upcoming Tubi movie, A Party to Die For.
Mm-hmm.
It's out now, and you play a lead part in the recently shot short Dinner Party, directed mm-hmm. by Emmy Award winner, now you'll have to help me here, Ritesh Gupta, okay. And then we have the feature, The Tributaries, mm-hmm. starring Catherine Daddario. Is that correct?
Okay. Yes, her sister is Alexandra Daddario from The White Lotus, and she's so sweet. Cat
is. Oh, yeah. So that's a good bit. Is there anything you want to mention about any of those that we, you know, you want to share that stands out?
Yes. Well, The Tributaries is directed and written by Kate Gwelly, and she's just wonderful. She's so talented. And she wrote it from her heart, and it's about... You know, I play I'm a dying mother of I'm dying of cancer, and when I saw she offered me the part. She reached out to me directly and had seen my reel. And she said, it's a hard role. You're going to look, it's not going to look good for you in terms of what you look like because I'm dying. And it kind of flashes back to me being happy and healthy with my wife or my husband and my daughter, and then flashing to present day where I'm so sick. And she was so beautiful and talking with me about it that I said that I would do it. And the film is just, yeah, it's just cathartic for me because my father died of a glioblastoma. So it was kind of like a way for me to kind of get, process that, because that was during COVID and that was challenging, and to work with these people that were just so sensitive and kind. And so that she's editing that, and it'll be a feature, and we have a really good producer behind it. So I'm really looking forward to that coming out, and I hope that it can help people and people can relate to, to the story.
You also worked on season 4 of Servant.
Yes, but I signed an NDA on that, which it's on my thing, so I can't really talk too much about it. But
that
was a great experience to work with M. Night.
And then above all this, I mean, all this acting that you have going on, I mean, it's tremendous. You've also have been successful in modeling, commercials, and print work. I mean, you're really working it.
I think, I was 5'10 when I was 13. I'm from Houston. And
okay.
So I, they had like a, remember they do those modeling contests at the shopping malls and you could show up? And I showed up for one of these contests at the Galleria in Houston. And so they brought me on to Page Parks. It was a modeling agency. I think I was like 13. So I think just being that tall, there's not much you could do at that time. But my mom was really strict about it. Even when I was 17, they wanted to send me to Europe. And my mom was like, no, absolutely not. You're going to college. So I kind of put that on the back burner. But what I can tell anybody is, no matter what age you are, you can still go back to doing stuff, because even if you're in your 40s and 30s and whatever, you can still model and do print work. So you don't have to be young to start out doing that.
That's true. That is absolutely true. As long as you have the gift, I mean, what they're looking for, the height and the measurements. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to mention anything about your short film, When Father Went Biking?
Yeah, that one, I also played a woman who is taking, I'm sick and I am ill in that short, and my father has dementia, so that was also another cathartic experience to be able to do that, because my father was experiencing that with his glioblastoma, and that went to a number of film festivals, and was nominated for different awards. But what I'll say is, when I started out with acting, I didn't have anything on my reel, so...
Mm-hmm.
If a lot of these shorts, I've been lucky and I've been able to work on really with really talented people, but a lot of those shorts were, that was an NYU film. And so I did student films at Temple and Drexel and Philadelphia and NYU to be able to build a reel and get experience on a set. So a lot of those ended up winning different awards or were nominated or put in festivals, and they were student films.
Staring at a stop sign, watching people drive. On your mind, nothing's really going right. Looking for a ray of hope. Whatever it is you may be going through, I know it's not gonna let it get the best of you. You're an overcomer.
is the Bev Moore Show, live streaming on the iHeart Network and 185 broadcast stations worldwide. I'm Bev Moore. My interview with actor Shannon Wilson, who is also an author, continues.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably?
It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Describe your most challenging role to date.
Probably the, well, Snow Babies was tough because of the subject matter and the themes. So I had to really put myself, because I wanted it to be so real, I really had to, you know, imagine certain things I don't really necessarily like imagining, to be able to cry and to get to those spaces. And, you know, you have to be really vulnerable in something like that. So that was really hard, because I was like shaken from that for quite a few days after one of the scenes that we had to film. And I look back on the film and I look so tired in a lot of the scenes, and it suits the fact that I actually am tired. You know, I'm a working mom and I'm dealing with a lot. And so I can see it on my face, like how much that took out of me at the time when we were filming it. Because I think as actors, if you want to really tap into those emotions, you really have to go to some dark places. And a lot of times you're just kind of, they're like, and cut. And you're like, you know, just really in a dark place. But I think that was challenging. And the Tributaries was hard too, just because I had to do a lot of scenes where I'm in bed and really, really, really sick. So it's not fun to feel that way. That took a few days to get over that one. I was ready. After that, I did a comedy, for a web series. And I said, okay, of the sadness, I need to do something funny.
Do something fun. To help bring you back out of that dark moment. So would you say going into that, those roles, that would be probably the toughest part of your work?
I think so. But I can play all different types of people. I think just waiting tables, and I was a cocktail waitress, and I can observe people. I can play such a variety that I guess that's why the hardest, that those would be the hardest, was just really having to get sad. Not that I'm not sad, it's just really getting into a place where you have to imagine. I mean, for me, my process, and I hate, that's so cheesy to say process, believe me, I know. But for me to have to be able to actually feel like it's real what's happening, you just have to, I personalize, I know you're not always supposed to do that, but in certain situations, I feel like I personalize it so that I can really get that emotion. I don't have to do that all the time, but in Snow Babies especially, I had to, because it was my first feature. I think now I would have a little bit better skills with it, but at that time, the only way I knew how to get to those places was to make it personal.
Kind of the techniques. So that was my next question, is what techniques do you use to create a believable character? So you pretty much answered that.
Yeah, that's my technique. And then Robert De Niro, I heard one time say, don't ever say anything that you don't mean. So every line, if you're not feeling it, don't say that line. And that always stuck with me, because if you just say it for real and you feel it, then it's okay. That's coming from some place of truth. So that always stuck with me too.
That is definitely true.
Yeah, it's so simple, but it's helpful.
It makes a lot of sense. It does.
Yeah, it's so simple. Like, you would expect De Niro to say something like that because he's so simple in his acting. He doesn't do anything over the top. But everything he says, he's meaning it. It's coming from his heart, even the smallest line.
It's real. Yeah, it's real. It's real. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I love De Niro.
I thought I knew what I was talking about when I testified of your great love. Well, I was a soul on fire, there was no doubt. I don't believe in saved and washed in the blood. But it was until I stumbled and made my mistakes. Then I could know in my soul.
Talks about what inspired her to write a baby book.
There's torn up pages in this book, words that tell me I'm no good, chapters that define me for so long. But the hands of grace and endless love dusted off and picked me up, told my heart that hope is never gone. God is in this story, God is in the details.
The life of every child is precious beyond measure. If you care for a child with a disability and have limited income and resources, help is available. Children with a physical or mental disability or who are blind may qualify for monthly cash payments through the Supplemental Security Income Program, or SSI. The program provides help to meet basic needs for food, clothing, or a place to live, and disability-related needs. It's money that can make a meaningful difference. If you're the parent or caregiver of a child or teenager you think may be eligible, call Social Security at 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/ssikids to learn how to apply today. That's ssa.gov/ssikids. It's real help for the children. Message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Please share what inspired you to write the book, The Littlest Peanut, that inspirational baby book for parents with children in NICU. I'm so curious.
I had two preemies.
You had two preemies.
Mm-hmm. So that was the inspiration. And the 20 months.
I thought.
You what?
I said I figured that was it. I had a hunch. So yeah. I wanted to talk about that for a few minutes about that.
Sure.
Yeah. I think that is amazing. I mean that you wrote a book about it to help people that have, going through that same experience.
Thank you. It was more of when I had my daughter, the baby books didn't match. And any preemie parent can tell you this. You're in the NICU, and she was 6 weeks early. There's a lot of babies way earlier than that, so we were blessed that, it was just 6 weeks. My son was much earlier than that. But you would have to adjust the baby book. I say normal with my hands and, my fingers in quotations, but you would have to get a regular baby book and then adjust it to their weight or when they were born. And I'm like, at the time when I did The Littlest Peanut, there was nothing like that out there. So I made little poems and I kind of thought about the idea and sketched it out. And then I put it aside because, my baby came home and I'm busy until I had another preemie 20 months later. And I go back into that same
wow.
NICU and like, are you kidding me? Why are you back? I'm like, listen, my husband's getting a vasectomy next week. You will not see me here again. But my son was, and he did. Oh, and his vasectomy doctor was his name, Dr. Fallick, which is hilarious.
Oh, that is funny.
Isn't that funny? So, I know. It's hilarious. So I put when I was back in the NICU, that was for a longer time, and that breck was way earlier, and there were, you're more concerned with how early he was. So I kind of brought it back out, and then I can't draw, so I had the ideas in my head, but my brother-in-law, Joe Kniff, is a phenomenal artist in any medium. So he designed it and took what I had in my head and drew it for me and illustrated the book. And it's a simple baby book, just where, when do you get off of the CPAP? When did the baby, when did you hold him for the first time? When, everything that's pertinent to a preemie is mm-hmm. what this is about. So it's wonderful. And a lot of the same parents will reach out to me every holiday. And I give them cases of books to be able to take to the hospital, to their NICU, because they make care packages. So it's really beautiful.
That is beautiful. That is beautiful.
And they send me the pictures back of the NICU nurses holding the books. And it's just a really nice way to be able to do that, to kind of help. And these mothers, I didn't even do that much. Some of these parents that come out of the NICU experience do so much, like start foundations. And it's just, they're so appreciative. We are so appreciative of these NICU nurses and all that they do for us. It's just, they're angels, honestly.
Well, I am very inspired by listening to that story. I had to bring it up.
Oh, thank you. They do.
They need that. They really do.
And they're so tiny. I mean, you'd be in there, and the little babies are like 26 weeks, 24 weeks. You know, you have these little macro preemies, and they're just precious. And you just, you're in a, at the time, our hospital was the old hospital. It's much, it's brand new now. But you were in the same room with everybody. It was an old virtual hospital. And so you were in the same room. And so you'd look over, and there was a tiny little macro preemie, so sick, just fighting for his life. And his parents were in there. And I mean, they were little, these babies. So my son, that was a 30-weeker, you know, you think you have it rough. And then you look over, and there's a baby over, you know, across the room that's like 23 weeks. His little feet, his little hands. It's just so... And they would go out. It was amazing how resilient they were. You know, that they were like surviving and thriving.
Yeah. Well, I admire you for that, and hands off to you. I mean, that's wonderful.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
In my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every once again, just who I am, because I need to know.
I believe, oh, I believe.
interview with Shannon Wilson continues.
No matter who we are or where we come from, we all experience difficulties in life.
Military veterans know that sometimes it takes strength and determination to make it through.
Whether it's physical challenges or struggles on the inside, it takes strength to ask for help when you need it.
Learn how veterans like us have reached out for help and hear stories of strength and recovery at maketheconnection.net.
And when I started reading about you, I mean, I knew that you were amazing, but then I find out you write songs and play guitar.
Yeah.
And I listen to your music, and it's over the top. Is that you singing?
Yes.
That just blows me away. I want everyone to know that they can find your music on Spotify.
Thank you.
Yeah, that they need to look you up because they will be blown away, for sure.
That's sweet, Bev. You are so nice. Thank you.
Yes, I was very impressed with that. Is there anything you want to say about your music?
I'm really shy about singing, so I don't sing in front of people. And I was always really I always wanted to be able to write some music, and it's just kind of like, again, just a way for me to express myself or emotions that I'm having. And it turns out that this guy named Jim Heffernan, who's an amazing Nashville studio musician, and he toured with Brad Paisley for a long time and Joe Diffie, lives in the town over from me. And someone told me that. I reached out to him, and he produces in his basement in his house. And so that is who I connected with probably, like, it's been 7 years now, and he plays the mandolin and instruments, and he's just so fun to work with. So whenever I have a new song, I call Jim up and I go in there and I record it, and it's just really fun to be able to do that. And I'm not that good of a guitarist. I can play guitar and I write music to my guitar and my piano, but I mean, when you're, I'm sure you've spent time with studio musicians. They can do anything. They're just so unbelievably.
Oh yeah.
So cool.
But I think it's amazing that you play guitar, because, you know, most women, you know, that's hard.
Yeah, it's not easy. I taught myself
to
do it. I didn't do it right. You have to learn. Really, you should take lessons and learn it the right way, because I didn't have my fingers right. But I think playing music and anybody can pick that up later. I hear people say, oh, I wish I would have learned how to play piano. I just started taking my piano lessons again. My son can't make his piano lessons because he's wrestling right now. So I said, I'll take your piano lessons. We already paid for it this month. So I've been going in once a week and taking lessons. And I'm the only adult in there. I'm walking out, and it's like parents with their little kids.
And you're in there taking lessons.
Yeah, and I've got my piano book from when I was a kid from Mrs. Walker. And when I showed up, his teacher just looked at me. I go, Breck's busy with wrestling. He just decided to join the team, but I'd like to take over. And she goes, okay. So I sat down and started working on a song that I worked on, you know, when I was 12 or 13. It's so much fun.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Maybe that's what I need to do.
Oh, do it and tell me how much you'll love it. You will have the best time. Did you ever play piano?
No, I did play a flute and a piccolo. I learned how to play that as a side, just on the side, you know, when I was younger. And I was very good at it, actually.
Well, then go back and do it. Find a flute teacher or pick it up. Once you've played an instrument, it's amazing how it comes back to you. And
you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
Well, Shannon, you have been such an inspiration to interview on the Bev Moore Show, I have to admit. And I want to thank you. I really want to thank you so much for being my guest.
Well, I want to thank you for having me as your guest. This has really been such a pleasure.
That's our show for this week. I hope you enjoyed my talented guest, actress, model, author, and songwriter, Shannon Wilson. I'm Bev Moore. Until next time,
Bye-bye.